Good evening, everybody. Good evening. This is Veronica Entwistle with Radiance by Design. You're radiating, I'm radiating, and we're choosing to radiate at a higher and higher level consciously so that we can do conscious creation of our reality. I was re-listening to an old Galexis tape today, a CD, and they were explaining about how our souls, this is something you probably know and I probably know, I love listening to all the old interviews I've done because they're so brilliant. Not on my part, that's not a boast, but these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful messengers of truth and expansion talking about our souls got enough awareness from different galactic centers, different other experiences, to choose to come in here and play at this amazing, some of these are my words anyway, these amazing opportunities to create and create and create until we unfold and become the empowering beings we are and learn to create our reality consciously. It's so exciting. And I don't know how many thousands of years we've all been stumbling around. Somebody said 650,000, but I don't know. Anyway, never mind. I think it's all just conjecture and being a channel as well. I know that sometimes we aren't necessarily aligned with time and space. So who on earth knows how long, but in any case, the journey has been amazing and bringing us to more and more, or through more and more stumbling blocks, more and more kind of limiting reactions to such a degree that as we learn to unpile those limiting reactions, as we learn to undo them, as we learn that they are just reactions that limit us, we learn more and more about being able to open our creativity and release an amazing power. The guides were likening it to a very vibrant, that in our souls there's a very vibrant kind of a corkscrew effect, which is a really deep cellular drive to keep moving through situations to open up more and more potential for our creations as individuals. And the other thing that fascinates me, I was linking it to Galexis, but you know, now I forget where Galexis left off and someone else and my own guides and who knows what. But we all come up with the same ultimate picture, many different details on how to get there. And most of it is very joyful and very fun. One of the things that fascinates me, and I've been an intuitive for about 25 years now, and I'm always happy to explore. One of the things that fascinates me is that we have a tremendous collective, and it's actually, I want to call it the effluent, of lots and lots of thoughts and feelings from all the people who are on this amazing journey of creation for ever so long, and then there's this huge kind of miasma or cloud of thoughts and feelings. So you and I are breathing and thinking many thoughts and feelings which aren't even our own, and that makes the status quo. Some of what really impacts the collective is a lot of the media, a lot of the marketed advertising and all kinds of stuff that's going on all over the place is just imposing itself into the collective. So you and I start to really breathe it in and think that that's the way we are. So it's really an art to get enough releasing done deep inside yourself, enough meditation, enough releasing, so that that amazing, powerful, spiraling aspect of you that is yearning for the higher, yearning for the individuation way beyond that which is imposed upon us, and yearning for that connection to source and divinity, which is yours and mine, it's our birthright, yearning to be one with that instead of one with the socially constructed reality or the status quo. So here we are in Radiance by Design. What on earth was that long spiel about, except that we're all learning to radiate consciously, and you do that by releasing a whole bunch of old reactions that have been encoded in you for heaven only knows how long. They come in through the lineage, they come in through relationships, they come in through trauma and experience. Good grief, who knows? And now we're sitting in the middle of, I think it's three eclipses. We had an eclipse last night over a full moon in Sagittarius, And my dear friend and colleague, Deborah O'Connor, is going to be on at 7:30 to talk about that. But I do know this, and that the eclipse was all about bringing up, you know, eclipses really reflect to us and reflect back to us what it is we're hiding on ourselves, what it is about ourselves that we don't want to know. The eclipse can put us through some really amazing awarenesses of issues we've got, neuroses we've got, patterns that we've got that are hidden in there. And I'm going to want you to call in and talk about what you went through over perhaps the current eclipse. What are you going through in your life? Are you confused? Are you finding out more and more about who you really are? Are you aiming to become even more creative? How's your healing going? How's your healing effect on other people? Remember, when you're radiating by design, then you walk into a room and you are a contributor. Well, if you're unconscious or subconsciously driven by the tyrannical subconscious memory stuff, then you're radiating without design. You're radiating into a world where you're not actually a positive contributor. You're contributing to holding the consciousness of all the others in the room back down, to keeping everybody entranced at a certain level. So learning to radiate by design, which means we're going to do a bunch of releasing, and we're going to send our light ahead of us into rooms where we go to meet people, and we're going to become a contributor to other people's consciousness and, again, to the collective, so that we can actually transform at least our little niche in the collective. It's like transforming the ocean in a way, isn't it? I like to start with a meditation altogether because I do believe that this is a community, and all of you who listen regularly, as we do our meditation together, it vibrationally creates a very conscious community. So let's go and see if we can do some healing work for ourselves, other people, and the collective. So close your eyes, unless you're on a unicycle. And let's bring it above your head, a golden ball, and below your spine, another golden ball. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball through your spine into the lower golden ball. And now from the upper golden ball to about waist height, drop a four-sided pyramid. And that waist height might be out about 20, 30, 40, 50 feet. And then upside down, another pyramid, its point goes into the lower golden ball. And when the two pyramids base to base meet, then they're an eight-sided figure called an octahedron. And inside that, create a crystal ball. The outside edges of your crystal ball touch the inside edges of your octahedron. And inside that, there you are in a star, in a third, three-dimensional Star of David called a star tetrahedron. And now spin and spin and spin and spin and spin in your star. And as you do, see in front of you a magical screen. And on that screen, the first screen, you're going to see a movie that you create of what it is you want to become. Oh, maybe you want to be rich and famous. Maybe you want to be tall, short, fat, thin. I always want to be multidimensional. Maybe you want to be able to be transdimensional too. And then see yourself being whatever it is you want to be. And when you really get the feeling that you're doing that, and you can see it on your beautiful, magical screen. I also want to be coming from the heart. I always throw that picture of my heart going. And when you see that all on the magical screen, then you just smile, wrap it in light, and move to the next screen, which is showing a movie of all the resources it's taking for you to create the project of your dreams, and see all the pieces of your project of your dream come together, and all the resources it takes to build your dream. And see the people that are impacted by your dreams and how happy they are. You have your own little collective, don't you? Good. And now take a minute and see the resources just flowing to you in a nice steady stream to maintain your project. See the money comes, the time, the space, the light, the people, the enjoyment, the success, the satisfaction. See yourself grinning away there, knowing fully that it worked. And now you wrap that in light. And let's open the Galactic Healing Center. Now remember, the Galactic Healing Center is magical, and you have a magical team of healing beings around you, consciousnesses. Have them stand around your beautiful clean table. And the first person that lies on the table is you. And as you lie on the table, okay, so sometimes what happens is the team will tell you what it is you need or show you what you need, or you can come in and say, I would really like some help with this or that, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual. And my team is talking to me about what I need. Yes. I'm not going to share that with you guys. Heavens. Let's just talk about you, okay? Okay. And then they're doing some really powerful work on me. Are they on you? I can feel it. Amazing places. When you really feel it going, something's happening in you, energy is beginning to move. Some of you will see who it is that's working on you and how they're working. If you don't, it's okay. And wrap that in light. And now the team can replicate themselves, so they do so around a fresh table. Oh, we've pushed you on that table to the right and covered it with light. And now we've got a fresh table, and you're going to bring in someone who needs healing. Okay? And I'm bringing in somebody who's a very hurt young man. I'm bringing him in. He's not reluctant. Sometimes they're reluctant and won't come. And you have to question that and find out who wants to come. But he's coming in and lying down. And he's kind of lackluster right now. Yeah. And they're doing some big work on him. He can't seem to get going in his life. He's feeling shattered. He feels incomplete. He's becoming smaller. Have you ever done this where you get smaller and smaller in your own legend? So they're working on his brain and his belly. Remember that your neurotransmissions are created first in your belly, but they're working on his brain and his belly. That's it. That's interesting because he's really stockpiled, meaning he's pent up. He has a lot of feelings in him. And they're pulling feelings out, almost making him cry, which would be very good. And they're opening up his heart and his chest so that he'll have more courage. We'll wrap that in light and move it over to the side and bring in a fresh healing table. And the team comes around the fresh healing table and another person comes in. And again, this is a woman, and she doesn't want to lie down. She seems really anxious about, she wants to stand. She's nervous. She's angry. She's probably in her late 40s, financially fraught. I don't think I know this woman, actually. But in any case, there she is. They're showing that her thyroid is kind of wired, almost like I can smell it burning. Good. And she lies down. Finally. And they're basically soothing her there. They're soothing her. Yeah. And, you know, I keep hearing as they pull pain from her body. She seems to have like a fibromyalgia kind of thing running through her body, and her heart keeps palpitating, which is often a sign of allergy, isn't it? In any case, they're calming her down, and they keep loving her. It's really nice. They keep telling her that she's beloved. That's it. Now remember, the universe loves us enough to really bring up, to find ways of bringing up all of the things that we do inside our subconscious that keep us from being loved. Do you see what I mean? It's like saying the eclipses bring up things that you hide within yourself that you want to see so you can release them. The universe loves us enough to bring up situations that really help us see what we're hiding within ourselves. And I see that they want to really love her into, and they are. She's starting to feel better and safer. And they're saying she's more generous with herself. She's been too tense to be generous with herself. Okay, now that we're seeing her be shifted out of that, let's wrap her in light. Now let's do some political activity. Let's bring in something political. Let's bring in, I don't know, I kind of feel like maybe we want to bring in the weather patterns all over the world. It seems like Mother Earth is sort of staggering under the weight of change as well. Let's bring in the atmosphere. Put the atmosphere on our little healing table here. Oh, I see. Okay, so that we're going to have this team work on Mother Earth and ease her trauma. Ease the patterns that have been left by the fighting, by the warfare, by things like the fracking or the Gulf oil debacle or the tornadoes or the Japan and the tsunami and the meltdown. All over the world there's stuff. I'm not going to try to itemize everything because you and I know I'll forget some major ones. Well, what I will throw in is, okay, just a sec. Okay, let's do the Middle East again. We're having huge traumas all over the world, and people are feeling the trauma, but Mother Earth is also feeling the trauma, and we're asking the team to soothe her, to help her feel the nobility and the sweetness of being our mother force, the energy of our existence, that and the sun, of course. That's it. And show how the turmoil of the weather patterns can actually be eased. And let's just send a huge kind of a spectrally shiny light all over, surrounding the entire atmosphere of the planet to calm some of the more raging expressions from being pent up, and have those beautiful lights move round and round and round our planet. Now, I hate to do it, but on a lesser note, we're going to do one more healing table. Last night in Vancouver, BC, I guess a lot of you knew, those of you who follow sports, the Canucks lost the final game. And, you know, we live just a short distance from Vancouver. It's my hometown. But Vancouverites, many that I hear about or I'm talking to, are absolutely heartbroken because, not because the Canucks lost so much, but because there was some really awful rioting that came after the loss. And many of them are sure that the rioting wasn't caused by the normal fans. It was some kind of strange revolutionary rebellion by drunken people. And they turned over cars and they burnt cars and they ruined a whole aspect of the downtown. It was just horrendous. And it was in the middle of the eclipse. I'm asking the team to please help Vancouver, the people in Vancouver, but also the fact that it does represent how small the world is and how tormented so many people are these days, and that nobody can count on the systems being a certain way, and people are using their rage against one another. It's like a war, isn't it? It's like inside of ourselves, each of us, there's some kind of battle going on. Anyway, I cried when I saw some of the footage and talked to various people on the phone, and a lot of people are really heartbroken. But to me, it epitomizes the incredible danger humanity finds itself in to a degree. Not everybody all the time, but there's this feeling of a lack of power, and there's nowhere to get vengeance or something, you know? Let's ask for soothing and peace and respect for ourselves and others. Let's ask for the team to come in and soothe and heal the ripped, I guess, peace and sanctity that people feel these days in this crazy society. Help the collective. So let's wrap that in light and infuse that whole drama with peace back to the pearlized support for the atmosphere that we were doing in the Healing Center before. That's it. And one more, we're just going to bring in the political situation in America. And let's see Obama being supported to rise to the highest level and see various people in government, see them all feel the courage to reach for the higher solutions, not just the moneyed solutions, for medical, for a release of war, for a different way of energy. What is it we need? We need to have energy that is not going to be sustainable energy. We need non-toxic things. We need money to be an energy exchange and not the goal. We need a lot of healing in our government. We need a lot of healing. I always believe that this is the time in history where there's so much light. Let's pray that the light gets supported and all the people that are in positions of power begin to really feel their own spiraling light that's trying to move up through them and bring the highest good to all of us so we can make the shift. Anyway, this is Veronica Entwistle saying I've talked way too long. Come back in, hop into your spinning, spiraling star. Hop in there and spin and spin and spin and then jump back into the room with me. And I hope that Deb's going to be here at any moment. And when you are, Deb, interrupt me. So we're going to talk about a lot of things tonight. We're going to talk about, you can call in with your questions if you like. 888-815-9756. And we're hoping to hear from Deb. We're going to talk about the eclipses and what's going on and what kind of impact that has. Have any of you noticed that there's things about yourself that you're hiding from that you really don't want to bring forward? That's what's going to come up in the eclipse. Anybody get confused? I think what happened in Vancouver last night was really egged on by the eclipse personally. I think that the people just went crazy, and if you've got your shadow self coming on up in a crowd, and everybody's drinking and pushing and shoving, and then there's some combat in front of you, and your team loses, I really think that that's an extreme caricature of how crazy we start to feel when a lot of our issues come up at once. So what's happened with you? How many of you felt like a lot of issues have come up? Sometimes when it's karmic things, just let me take a look. I'm seeing somebody here who started to get... Are you there?
Hi, Veronica. It's Deb.
Hi. I thought I heard you come on.
I didn't want to stop you, though.
You what?
So, I didn't know if I should stop you.
Of course you should. This is Deb O'Connor. Welcome to the show, Deb. I was just going to prattle on about... some of the stuff that's being brought up by the eclipse, but better you should talk about it. Deb's an astrology wizard, which I'm not, but we're going to learn about it.
Thank you. Well, last night, actually it was yesterday afternoon on the West Coast. On the West Coast, about just a little bit after 1 o'clock, which would make it just a little bit after 4 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States, we had a full moon that was fully eclipsed. And it was also sitting right on the galactic center. So there's just a whole lot of symbology there, but rather than go on and on about it, I think probably the couple of things that are key are that whenever we have an eclipsed moon, especially a full moon, new moons are a little bit different. We can talk about that in a couple of weeks because we've got another one coming up on July 1st. But the eclipsed full moon is always asking us to let go of something that's happening at the level of our heart. You know, the moon astrologically has everything to do with the nurturing heart, the way we mother ourselves and everybody else. And so we're being asked when that moon heart is eclipsed, what is eclipsing it? What are we allowing ourselves to continually be in the dark about? And the irony in this is that a lot of times we feel like we're too ashamed to really take a look at whatever it is, when a lot of times what it is just simple shame. You know, you see the paradox in that? So
yeah, it's
so much about what am I, and a lot of times it has to do with something really remarkable about ourselves that we've been keeping in the dark.
You mean keeping ourselves small?
Yeah, keeping ourselves small. I think that's a big part of it, but it's almost like the question itself, which is, what is this, is as important as the what it is. The fact that we even want to ask the question usually leads us to realize that we're somehow eclipsed. And when we're talking about the moon, it's often hard to say exactly what it is, although very often it has something to do with past, either this lifetime or many other lifetimes. And then when you put that eclipsed full moon on top of the galactic center, you're getting a couple things. One is you're getting phenomenal, phenomenal support from source. And the other thing is you're definitely getting something that has, you're wanting to work on something that is a repeated pattern, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime.
Do you think it brings that big confusion in people?
Say that again?
Do you think it brings that big confusion in people?
I think we get confused because we get scared because we're asked to face something that we've tried to face many times before. But this particular moon, because it's sitting on the galactic center, was giving us this incredible cosmic sort of divine loving support for all this. And you and I and a lot of the people that we've worked with, I think, have felt that. It felt larger, this particular emotional burden that was coming up, but it also felt like as soon as we started to try to unravel it, it just wanted to unravel, wouldn't you say?
I would say it's moving fast, yes. But
yeah.
But it was very, my response to it was a kind of a thickening and a sort of a weight in self, mm-hmm. and then it mm-hmm. moved out, almost like it, a cycle, but it takes on a spiral or something.
Yeah, I think that's probably really true. And I often think that when you think about the galactic center, you might be talking about a spiral anyway, energy that's just so so core, when it comes up, is going to be coming up like a great, big, huge, beautiful spiral. I don't know. You know,
and
part of it, too, is... Go ahead.
And we're microcosms of that in a way, aren't we?
We are microcosms of that. It's that old thing that we are all a piece of it, of the larger it. But I think, you know, to go back to the eclipse moon again, something that is coming up for a lot of people around this moon is that because the moon has to do with mother energy and nurturing energy, it also has to do with clan and home. And so for a lot of people, there is a critical issue around the whole notion of home, and you can be beautifully settled into a beautiful, perfect home situation and still not feel at home. And it's almost like the missing piece is somehow eclipsed again. And a lot of times I think it has something to do, I'm pretty sure it has to do with the emotional past. And what is this fear? What are we afraid of? I mean, it's like we say that sentence over and over and over. Let's see, what am I afraid of? What are you afraid of? But when you start to really ask yourself that question, that's when we start to feel sick. If we get really close to finally getting to it, we start to feel sick because it's too scary to finally get close to it. Even though, you know, a long time ago, I had a series of dreams over the course of about 10 years that I was going down into my grandmother's cellar. I kept and she lived in a big old house, big old Victorian house, with cold stone steps leading down into a cold basement. It was terrifying beyond anything that would be rational. And in each dream, I'd get a couple steps farther down, and finally, after about 10 years, I got down to the bottom where I'd been before, and I opened the door into what I thought it was going to just be, you know, a room of horrors. And it was a perfectly clean, clear, light-filled room with just this soft, warm light in it.
And
it was just the most beautiful metaphor for the whole thing about fear. We're so afraid to go into the fear when the fear is an illusion.
Right.
But it's a hard thing to talk about because unless you've worked that particular angle, it's hard to convince people that really if we just stay with it.
Tell me this. Do you think the collective is experiencing something like the whole collective? Or talk about, there's something we were talking about earlier about the north node of the galactic.
The moon itself, this full moon, this full eclipsed moon, was sitting both on the galactic center, which is at 27 degrees of Sagittarius, and actually this moon wasn't, it was just a couple degrees off, but scientists think that the, you know, it's hard to say the galactic center is exactly 27 degrees of Sagittarius. It's probably somewhere between 24 and 28 degrees of Sagittarius. But the other thing is that the north node, the universal north node, tells us what we're leaning toward, what we want to get, and we're working on it.
You mean as a whole species?
Right there. Say that again, as a whole species.
Yeah.
As a whole species, as a planet, and every being on that planet, every rock and stone and armadillo, all of us. and so the north node was all, the moon was also sitting on this north node, this leaning into something, some greater thing. And it was Sagittarius, and the sunlight was coming from Gemini. And one of the things that I think has definitely been in our face, and this is a little bit more mundane, but as a species I think we're trying to figure this out, is why we continue to veer away from the things that would make us deeper and wiser. And not everybody does this, but even everyone who is working on wisdom, there are still parts of us that just kind of dodge away from the places where we say, well, we're doing a lot of work over here. We've been doing all this work. And so we get too close to the fire, which is really the peace, and we just sort of dive away from it. And that's that north node desire to get closer and closer and closer to the thing itself that feels like it's just too dangerous to go there. And, you know, part of what we were talking about earlier today is something we've talked about many times. The moon is not ever playing alone. There are a lot of planets that are sort of jumping in and out of their skins lately. And the two primary ones are Uranus, which wants to revolutionize and re-envision everything, and Pluto, which wants us to be aware of how we're disempowered and what we're afraid of. And they're squaring each other. So we have to, a friend of mine who's an astrologer came up with this wonderful metaphor for that. He said, it's like, you just want to say to people, turn the wheel hard. It's a square. It's a 90-degree angle. To get there, you have to choose to make a tough, tight turn. Don't you think that's a wonderful metaphor for this? It's like, we have to sail through this by being loving.
Oh, okay. I mean, we have to take some action.
Yeah, and we have to take some action that's hard for us. And a lot of time that means bowing to the fact that we, as hard as we've worked toward consciousness and raising our energetic vibration and all of it, we're still working on it, and we've still got some pieces in the way. And they're our own pieces. You and I were talking about that earlier, about copying to what's really ours and taking responsibility for the fact that we might be in, I'm not talking about you or I, but I'm making this up, we might be in a marriage that's absolutely hideous and have just lost our job and may lose our house. And the easy way out is to blame the culture, to blame the government, and to blame the banks, and to blame everybody else. But the tough, hard way through this is to say, okay, now what can I do next?
Mm-hmm.
And what am I most afraid of?
Because it is a time. It has to be a time of personal creation, and that's the hard part, isn't it?
Yeah, because I think a lot of what we're afraid of when we lose things is that we are lost and that we are not up to the job of recreating it. It I do think a lot of it has to do with our sense that we just aren't quite enough. And I've been wondering if this moon sitting over the galactic center didn't have something to do with the fact that the divine core is basically saying, you are this. Don't forget what you are.
But tell me
Please.
This, isn't the Pluto thing, isn't that related to us having to break open our contrived identity in order to get to the deeper level of what we really are?
Yeah, because Pluto doesn't like it when people bullshit it themselves. It basically says, you know, my job is to show you where you're disempowered, where you allow other people to disempower you, but my job is also to show you where you're not being honest with yourself about this.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we're in a situation where we're tired. We're tired of the interpersonal thing. But we don't really want to, we want out, but we don't want to hurt the other person.
Right.
But in a way, what we're doing is we are hurting the other person. I mean, that's that Pluto thing. Turn it around and look at it from the other direction. If you're in a situation where you need to get out and you don't want to hurt the other person, you're hurting everybody but not getting out because at some level, you taught me this a long, long, long time ago, at some level we all know what each other are doing energetically anyway.
That's
so
right.
If we're staying put somewhere, we're basically, what did you say, making ourselves small and allowing the other person to stay small at the same time. And that's Pluto work. It's about empowerment.
Mm.
But before you can empower yourself, Pluto says, you have to see where you're disempowering yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to tell yourself the fucking truth. That's just Pluto. Just nail it. Stop diving away from it. Excuse me. I only use that language when I'm talking about Pluto. That's how Pluto would talk. It would say, well, don't mess with me, you know?
And then if you don't deal with things like that, then it gets kind of amped up, doesn't it, these days, especially in the eclipse, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anything, you know, and it is hard. I mean, I think that's the thing to remember is that it's been hard for everybody, but that courage is just a really big piece of it. And it's personal courage, and it's knowing that we aren't being victimized as much as we're being led through some of our sorrow and some of our shame, and don't you think the whole point of that is to see it?
So yeah, to then create from a more pure self.
Right? Sorry, exactly. You were talking today about... Oh, go ahead.
Okay. No, you go ahead.
Well, you were talking today about threads coming out of people, about noticing that when people are really releasing, you mm-hmm. can see that threads are just kind of coming out, and I was thinking about that later, thinking how if we think of ourselves as being sort of bound up in the threads of our fear,
mm-hmm.
we could imagine, because I do think that with a lot of this, all we have to do is acknowledge it, just become aware of it, turn around and say, yes, I am in fact disempowering myself this way. I have been bowing to this and making myself smaller this way. And then it's almost like you're some great universal hand is grabbing that string and pulling, and you just spin like a spool of thread, and just you spin and spin and spin, and the thread comes off, or the threads come off of the... So you're no longer bound because the threads are the fear.
Right. And then it allows us to pop up to a new level of creation, because it's all about being creative in the time when the systems are all breaking apart, isn't it?
It is. Well, and we were talking about that.
No, I was just saying I really enjoy this. It's giving me power.
Yeah, and you and I were talking about how how I always get on my soapbox about so many... Astrologers are talking all the time about all the hard, difficult parts of these planetary aspects. Oh my God, Pluto's being hard on us, and somebody wrote me an email today and said, oh, the planets are just beating me up. And what I want us to remember all the time is that it's like yin and yang. There's a lot of tough stuff going on at the same time that there's absolutely simultaneously an extraordinary amount of beauty and light coming into everything. Because if all of us think about the really tough moments we're having, we have to admit that, you know, if we would just turn around and look at the sky for 3 minutes, I mean, they're just, or listen to all the amazing things that are happening on the planet. People are moving and shaking like crazy.
Yes,
there's so much positive movement afoot.
You're right. Well, thank you so much, Deb. I'm going to take some callers for the next few minutes. Okay.
Good. Thank you so much.
And Deb can be reached at.
lovedogdesign.com, www.lovedogdesign.com. Thank
I really
you so
recommend
much.
It. If you don't have it, you need to get Deb's twice a month her wonderful newsletter about the skies.
Yeah, it's a free astrology column. It comes out twice a month. You can find it at the blog at Love Dog Design. So thank you and good night.
Good night, Deb. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
So that was really illuminating for me. It's really helping me understand why so many people are feeling frustrated and how to pick in my own self in the teeth of my gut, which is my whole subconscious. Oh, my. I hope. Okay. To pick out those morsels that don't serve me anymore, things that keep us small, keep us unable to create. So here's the number, 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. I'd really love to hear from you and how you're dealing with the eclipse and all the other things that are going on. My name is Veronica Entwistle. You're listening to Radiance by Design. And boy, oh boy, it seems like when we're talking about eclipses and so on, that radiance designs a certain amount of our personal dynamics, and that in turn affects the collective. I really kind of like thinking about that right now, you can tell. So, let's see. What we're talking about is a number of different things. All over the place I am tonight. One of the things that Dwal Kool was a recent interview the week before last, or last week's interview. It was a very wonderful, wonderful interview talking with Dwal Kool through Castle and Kingdon. And I just love talking to the master, as they call him, because I get to interact with him and I get to play with him and I get to pick his brilliant, brilliant mind for some answers. Anyway, I was asking, as we were talking about human systems, and I used the word narcissism. I said that there's such a lack of concern. I can't remember the exact context, but there's such a lack of concern for humanity, and it's kind of like narcissism in the systems. And he said, and remember, there's a lot of spiritual narcissism these days. And that has really made me think, and some of you listeners and some of my own clients, have maybe you crisscross there, the same thing, have been challenging, like, what is spiritual narcissism? And they didn't like it. And what he really was talking about, as far as I could understand, was when we are really spiritual. Have you ever met people like this? They say, oh, I'm really, really spiritual, and they're really snobby because someone else, they feel, for example, somebody in the creating your reality set gets sick. So the other people go, ooh, what have you done to get yourself sick? You must be in need of a meditation. You must be doing something wrong. It must be your karma. It's really incredible. And then it is an ultimate judgment. But it seems to come from, let me put it another way, too. It's an interesting concept that if I have, you don't, has been the kind of attitude that runs wealth on the planet or a power or some of the mainstays of what have kept our old systems going in the old paradigm, right? If I have it, you don't. So if you have it, I don't. So we have a kind of defensive combativeness. Well, sometimes in our spirituality, that begins to happen. We get kind of arrogant about the fact we are really good at meditating and I belong to this group or that group and I have a higher radiance than that person and so on. So then we get into this thing of I don't need to get involved in, and I've done this myself quite a bit actually, I don't need to know what's going on in the news because I'm spiritual so it doesn't touch me. Or I don't need to know what's going on with food because I'm spiritual, it doesn't touch me. I'll just create a higher frequency energy and I will live in a different reality. And what Dwal Kool was saying is that actually is a spiritual kind of narcissism. It's a, I have, and I don't have to be concerned about you. So I want to know what you think about that. We started a little bit late, so we've got a little time for you to call in. Why don't you call in and tell me what you think about that? I know several of you were really bugged by it. And I'm not sure how I feel about it. Narcissism to me is the only person I can think about is me, and I don't really have any peripheral vision, so I'm not particularly concerned about anyone else, and that's the only way to be. I also know when people crash and burn and crack up and get really, really, really traumatized by life, there's a time that we go through which I call the essential narcissism, which is a time of healing. And I can remember going through this myself, and I've seen it through many of my clients, where if life crashes and burns and you have to kind of scrabble to pull the pieces together and pull the pieces together and pull the pieces together, at that point, many of us don't really have the ability to look from side to side and see how everyone else is. You're scrabbling for your life. So it's kind of an interesting use of the word narcissism, because somebody would say so-and-so is a narcissist, and I'd say kind of an essential narcissism until they get on their feet, because that person had to put all their energy in getting back up on their feet and recreating their reality. And I think spiritual narcissism is a lot different. It's like, I will only concern myself with my spiritual growth and development, knowing I live in a different reality than the others, and I don't reduce myself by knowing what's going on in the world. I think that a lot of us have a lot of questions about that, because I always believe that you start inside and you work toward the refinement of self and bring in your higher self. So there I am, connecting to my higher self, connecting as best I can to the etheric flows and to source and so on. And I'm not really paying attention to what the social structure is doing, am I? I think Dwal Kool was saying that we are more of a, it's a much more powerful for us to actually serve and interact with the social structure as well as doing our spiritual work. And he called it narcissism when we don't do that, that it's like I have and you don't. I believe that's what he said. And I should re-listen to that interview. That was last Tuesday's interview with Dwal Kool. I really recommend you check it on the archive. So we're going to see at the top of the hour, we've got Jackie Salvitti at ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. We all absolutely love Jackie and her team, her channel team, that sometimes I get to interact with them as well. And we learn a lot about what consciousnesses they are. Like Galexis and like a number of other ones, even my own channeled beings, they are a consortium, or they're an infinite number of consciousnesses from many different levels, including some ETs. It's really fun to listen to them, talk to them. It's very inspiring because they have a very high frequency energy. So stay tuned at the top of the hour for Jackie Salvitti, ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. I'm going to have a fun show on Tuesday night on Paradigm Shifters. There's a woman named Dee Wallace. Some of you would remember her as the mother in the movie E.T. She's a beautiful, sparky woman, and she wrote a book called Bright Light. And her book is all about her journey as an actress, making it first in New York, girl from Kansas, making it in New York as an actress, and then moving on to Hollywood and acting in movies and commercials and so on. But she used energy and light to guide her career. It's really quite a nice, it's a fun experiential book. So we're going to have her on Tuesday night telling you how to do it. And let's see, who's after that? I have a number of beings. Oh, Galexis is coming on again on June 28th. And then we're going to have a number of different people. I'm really excited. There's a lot going on out there, and we've got a number of people lined up to join us. One of them is a woman who's saying, don't panic, take action. Her name is Suzanne Eder, and she'll be on either after the Galexis one or the one after that. And Kathleen Ingram, who's talking a lot about horses, equine therapy, and all kinds of intuitive stuff, she's coming on. She's been on before. She was a really gripping interview. So I'm pretty excited. There's a lot going on, and we're going to be having it close up, face to face. My name is Veronica Entwistle. If you want a session with me, or if you want to tell me, suggest some guests, or if you want to give us feedback on the shows, it's Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. and any feedback for Deb as well. All right, many blessings. Catch you at the top of the hour.